292 brought to you by DRF Sports. On the show today, God, my favorite player, and he's not in the black and gold anymore. Dane Belton, number four. D-Belt, one of the most electric players to watch over the last three seasons in the defensive backfield for Iowa. It was so great to sit down with Dane and talk shop and get a little inside his mind, see how he thinks, how he works, and talk about going to the next level. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome back, Watch Walk-Ons fans, episode 292 of the podcast. And this is a cool episode today. You don't just have to listen to us. We actually get to learn a good bit about a guy that we don't know that much about on a personal level. He got to the program just after we left and is so good that he's already out of there. 3 years in the program, in and out as quick as you can get there. One of the most versatile players that we've seen play on Phil's defense in a while, and that's saying something because Phil just continues to turn over playmaker after playmaker. Unfortunately, don't have Kevin on this one. Doesn't feel right to be talking to a hybrid DB linebacker without Kevin. But Dane, welcome to the podcast, man, and I'm looking forward to getting to know you, man, because I've been a big fan.
I appreciate that, and you know, definitely, you know, enjoy, you know, having the opportunity to be on here, and you know, look forward to it.
The man was early, Drake. The man, he came correct. He, you know, something that Kevin never does. He's a little closer to that Phil Parker, get your ass in the meeting room. You know, he's still got that in the back of his head, man. Dane, thanks for joining. As Drake said,
how cool was playing for Phil?
Yeah,
man, it was cool for sure. Cause you see, like, you know, being recruited, you see his resume. And like you said, you know, the people he, you know, just coaches and turns out, and it's like, man, like on that level, it's like, you know, it's Coach Parker. But then once you start playing for him, it's like you start to realize, you know, why he's doing that. And it's like, you know, why not me? So it's definitely a good feeling, you know, once you get into that role where you're playing and learning from him, you know, it's unbeatable.
He has that reputation. When you were in high school, you see guys like, I'm sure you looked it up, right? How much did you know about Iowa before they came into the recruiting process?
See, I know a little bit. So my dad was actually lived in Iowa for a little bit. And
really?
So yeah. So he was born in Nebraska, lived in Iowa for a little bit. So, you know, every once in a while, you know, I'd watch Iowa games, you know, just fundamentally sound, you know, good football. And just me being a football fan, you know, I'm watching any game that I'm seeing on TV. So, you know, occasionally, you know, you come across an Iowa game, man. But, you know, outside of that, you know, it wasn't too big. And, you know, once they came into the recruiting process, you know, every school that offered me, I was just doing my research, you know, trying to find the best spot for me. And that's when I really started to learn, you know, the intricacies and the ins and outs of, you know, Iowa football as a whole. And it's what I really fell in love with.
Was that exciting?
Were you watching Amani Hooker play when you were thinking about making your decision? Because he basically came in, played the exact same position that you did in a very similar way, got in and out in 3 years, and is now almost playing at a Pro Bowl level. Like, he might be playing at a Pro Bowl level, just not getting the recognition. You know what I'm saying?
So I never actually watched him because Iowa was actually one of the last schools to offer me. And it was in May. At the end of my junior year. So after that, I took my official in June, and that's when I committed. So I never actually, like, after they offered me and while I was talking to them, they never, like, played a season. So I never got to watch them, like, to influence me on my decision. But, you know, after I committed, you know, I came up for the Wisconsin game, and obviously I watched every game on TV. And it was just, like, talking to Coach Parker, you know, he give you that, you know, that option. Like, he's like, I'm not going to tell you you're going to play, but you have a chance, you know, if you work. You know, I let the best people on the field, basically. And he's like, you could play both safeties. You could play this cast position that we just started. And you could play, you know, a corner possibly. And so after I committed, I'm just watching Amani, like, you know, that could be me. And that's what any way I can get on the field, I'm going to do it. And, you know, like you say, he's a playmaker. And for me to follow in that footsteps is crazy.
Was Phil the guy who recruited you directly?
So he wasn't my area recruiter. My area recruiter is actually Coach Foster, who's the running back coach at the Chargers now. He was my area recruiter. But I talked – so, like, they came down to my spring practice. It was Coach Foster and Coach Wallace and Coach Parker. And at first it was Foster. Then he called Wallace and Parker, and they came. So it was all three of them.
They brought the squad.
They brought the squad. It was crazy. It was a whole bunch of coaches at that practice too. And it was just – you know, I had to show up.
Did you have a good day?
Oh, yeah, I had like four picks. It was, I had to eat, you know.
Your quarterback had no chance, bro. That's funny. So late in the process, Iowa comes in. Who were you, like, what was the move before that? Like, what schools?
So I really wasn't, like, I was still open until, honestly, when I took my official to Iowa. So, like, I was banking on taking probably all five. And so I ended up with 26 total, you know, D1 offers. But before that, I took official to Pitt. You know, I liked them. I was talking to Minnesota, Georgia Tech, you know, for the school aspect, and they were close to home. You know, a couple other schools, but you know, the only requirement my parents had was they had to be in the top 100 academic school. That was the only thing. They said you can go wherever you want, but that, you know, that's our requirement. So you know, there were other schools that were good football schools that, you know, didn't quite meet that requirement. So, but you know, I had a good choice to pick from.
I would say so, Drake. How many? This is kind of the theme of our podcast. If you get the name, Dane, between Drake and I, we had three unofficial scholarship offers, no legit like paper offers. So you got us blown out of the water, man. What sold you on the Hawks? Like you take that, you said you committed at your official visit.
Yes, sir. I committed on the last.
What was the sell? Was it Phil or what? You know,
it was, man, it was more than just one thing. And, you know, like we were talking about Coach Parker, you know, that he was a huge thing in that, you know, just the coaching stability as a whole, you know, knowing that you're not going to have to learn a whole new scheme and, you know, your head coach is going to be there. You know, who's going to be there your whole career. That was, you know, that was a huge thing. Also, you know, being from Florida, you know, I feel like we have the best athletes. So, like, just, you know, just getting out of Florida and, you know, going somewhere, you know, like if I go to Florida, you know, it's 100 people like me. And for me to, you know, go up north, I felt like I had a good chance at, you know, playing early and playing under a good coach as well. And just like I said, also, I wanted to experience the world a little bit. Like, I had never seen snow before going to college. So, you know, that was something, you know, I wanted to just branch out a little bit. You know, the atmosphere around campus, I wanted to play in front of fans who actually care. You know, there's a lot of schools that have fans, like, or they barely have fans that show up to games, you know. So, you know, just all those things, you know, went together, and the official was great. And, you know, on Sunday morning before leaving, you know, I felt like this was the place I needed to be. So I made that decision.
I love that. I love that. You, what was, because I know they walked you through Kinnick. They took you up in the press box and everything. What would that feel like?
It was crazy because, like you said, after I got the offer and I was doing, you know, my research and stuff and talking about the fans, I know they were crazy. And even though I didn't, like, you couldn't see it in there, you know, at the time I was there, you realize, like, how big the stadium is and, like, knowing, like, the crazy fans, like, just the atmosphere you picture in your mind is, like, I could definitely play for this. And just seeing, you know, that, and I think they were fixing or they were doing stuff to one of the end zones at that time, I want to say. But even, you know, just going through the locker room, you know, they had the tunnel all set up, doing photo shoot and stuff, you know, being with a lot of my teammates, you know, on that visit and just the atmosphere and environment with those guys too. It was just, you know, I felt like this is the place I wanted to be.
Do you have any all-time favorite memories of Kinnick? Because we have some special memories that'll live with us forever just because of how hallowed those grounds are. You know, we always talk about kind of there's true magic in that place sometimes. So I just want to know some of your favorite memories.
One of my favorite memories in my whole career was definitely 2020 season, COVID season, when we beat Wisconsin. And it's crazy because, like, when I tell people that, they expect me to, like, pick a memory where it's, like, the crowd was impacting the game. And, you know, you definitely have those games. You know, obviously probably second would be Penn State or close first of this past year. But it was just something about the Wisconsin game, man. It just summed up, you know, that team. And for us to start 0-2 and everyone's like, oh, they're not going to be good anymore. And just to knock out six straight and beat someone we hadn't beaten in 5 years and on our home field. And, you know, crowd wasn't even involved. So it was real, like, you know, no Like nobody had an advantage in that sense. It was just, you know, best against best. And just the way we came out and played that game, you know, especially on the defensive side, we shut them down the whole game. And the offense, you know, did their job as well. It was a total team win. And just the feeling in that locker room with the guys after just, you know, ending the season. We didn't know it was the end of the season at the time, but ending the season on that note, it was like, man, you know, that's what we play football for. And that was one of the most fun times I've had playing football, for sure.
That shows how important that game is to every Hawk, because, like, that's number one, and there weren't even fans there. That's how important beating Wisconsin is to, you know, a successful Iowa season.
Yeah, I understand that. You, trophy game, obviously, the bowl, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when it comes to the trophy games, Dane, is that the top for you, or where's Iowa State and Nebraska and Minnesota rank?
So, you like you said, definitely trophy games are up there. And as far as like in those four, you know, it's hard to say. Like, I haven't lost to Minnesota, so that was, you know, that's a dub. Flex. And then like, but
never lost to Iowa State.
Never lost to Iowa State. Never lost to Nebraska. So, you know, those games, you know, they mean something to us. And you guys know, you know, that intensity, that whole week and the preparation. And it's just, you know, it's always fun to go out there and with someone online. You know, every week you have someone online, but with that extra, you know, incentive, you know, the trophy game. And you know, people take notice of those things, you know, across the country as well. It's not just this fan base, you know, people know. So, you know, those games are just crazy in general. I couldn't really, like, say a favorite one. You know, there's all, like, intense games that go down to the wire most of the times. And, you know, it's fun football.
I love the answer. You talk really well. And, you know, some people think about football guys and they're like, oh, they're just dumb jocks. And admittedly, this is episode 292 of this podcast, Dane. So we've been doing this for a while now. And if you go back and listen to the first couple episodes, I think we fit that stereotype. The three of us are on here just like fumbling over our words. Part of being a Division I athlete, and maybe this was cultivated before you came to Iowa too, is dealing with media, stuff like this, right? Tuesday media, right? At, you know, you come out of practice, we got a media list, whatever, after the game, get a pick, people want to talk to you. Is that something like you actively thought about and have tried to like get better at, and like, and because everybody's got a personal brand, right? And I've got plenty of questions about that as well, because you're one of the guys who fully took advantage of the NIL opportunities that started coming up. You're now going to be a professional athlete, which is all about, you know, being a personal brand. So tell me about that. How do you go about that, thinking about that kind of stuff?
How elite was NIL, dude? Because we got to hear about it.
Yeah,
we need to know.
All right, guys. So, you know, at first, you know, to answer your first question, I never really like went about like trying to be better at media. You know, I felt like you said, I felt like I've always spoke well. You know, I feel like I answer questions, you know, thoroughly. And I feel like it's always been like that. You know, maybe it's probably my upbringing and, you know, the way my parents taught and emphasis on school and things like that. But it wasn't something that I was like, man, you know, I feel like I had to fix this, you know. But to NIL, like you said, you know, everything's a brand. And, you know, for us to get that opportunity to, you know, capitalize on that, you know, it gives you a jump start, you know, for the people who will go to the league, because that's all it is. And, you know, you just start to learn the ins and outs and things before you get to that point. So you're already knowledgeable and things like that. It's not brand new. And, you know, NIL is great. You know, anytime we can benefit on our own name, it's not like we're, you know, getting money from the university or getting money from this and that. It's, you know, it's what we built on ourselves. So for us to, you know, profit on, you know, the progression that we, you know, put in ourselves is just great. And, you know, the companies that, you know, we talk to and, you know, partner with are, you know, they're looking, you know, to not only benefit themselves, but also, you know, partner with you and get your name out there too, possibly. So, you know, it was definitely a both, you know, partnership. Everybody, you know, benefited from those. And, you know, for the semester I had it, you know, I felt like it was a great tool.
I know you took advantage. I saw you in the, what do we got, a Carlos O'Kelly's commercial with T Good and Keith. Mm-hmm. I know we had the, what is it, the Great Dane merch. Yeah. Yes, yeah. You got it all going on, man. Like you figured it out. Man, it's so cool to see. It's so
props cool to you, because we were yelling it from the mountaintops that everybody should be able to make money on their successes. Like, you put the work in, only you should be able to profit off of your successes. I mean, it just makes sense.
Yeah. I think, on the other hand, was there any sticking points in kind of managing that as a student athlete going to class? Was there any point where you're like, okay, maybe I'm focusing a little bit too much on my merchandise? Did any of that come up, or did you have a pretty solid sort of idea of how you wanted to go about it when it came into the rules?
Yeah, I feel like personally, I didn't have that much of a problem. I felt like, when it got implemented in July 1st, that was when I was trying to hit the ground running. We had no class. We were just doing, workouts in the morning. So, I had time on my hands to, do those kind of things. And, once it got to fall camp in the season, I told the people around me or, things like that, that where my focus was. And I was focused on the season, being my junior season, it's a big one. Possibility of leaving early and things like that. So, I told him straight up, I'm focused on the season. And if I have extra time, I can let you know and we can do this or that. But, my main priority is on this and obviously school. So, throughout the season, I was able to do, things here and there in my free time or on our off day. But, I feel like, I had a good system where, I told him straight up what my focus was and I kept that. So, but, I can definitely see it being a distraction for some people, if you put your focus in the wrong things and you focus on making the money and this and that. But, I feel like if you prioritize what you need to, what's good, I feel like you'll be set.
For sure.
Hey guys, let's take a quick second to realize the opportunity that DRF and DRF Sportsbook are giving walk-on listeners this spring. College basketball full force, you guys know that. NCAA tournament, honestly, one of the best times of the year. So, this is a perfect time to kind of get into this. We've already had several people reach out, get in on the leaderboard on the Cash Grab. DRF Cash Grab, super simple. Download the free DRF Cash Grab app. Remember, this is free. You guys aren't paying anything for this, and you get the opportunity to win real money and kind of dabble with a form of sports betting, right? If you are making your account, enter the referral code H9HDX7. And then you'll be added to the exclusive walk-on leaderboard. You can play as many games as you want in the Cash Grab. The more you play, the more opportunities you have to rack up leaderboard points and win real money. If you have a Cash Grab account already, just contact them and they will add you to that leaderboard manually. All right. Whoever has the most points between February 14th and the 28th in a 2-week span will win $250 in free bets. And then we're going to do it again from March 1st to the 13th. It all restarts and you have another chance to win. Download the DRF Cash Grab app. Enter our referral code H9HDX7. Start predicting and start winning. DRF Sports, bet smarter. Well, let's take a quick second here to recognize that our show is sponsored by AdCraft. You guys are potentially wearing one of their pieces of merchandise right now. One of the beautiful t-shirts or hats or sweatshirts that we've printed with them. The designs are clean, the merch is quality, their customer service is off the chain. The amount of stuff I've thrown at my guy, Colin, over at AdCraft has been a lot. It's always jumbled ideas and thoughts, and he finds a way, him and his team find a way to spit out ideas for the walk-on army that turn into reality, and they are 50% of our merchandise operation. They are everything that we need to provide quality merchandise to you guys, spit out the HBAM stuff, all the other designs. Their art team is amazing. Their customer service is amazing. The buying process from the clean looking web stores to their shipping, processing, delivering to you guys all over the country, not just Iowa. It's amazing. Streamline the way you offer your custom merch by utilizing their risk-free web store service. You don't have to worry about collecting orders or setting up pickup time to distribute your orders. AdCraft ships directly to customers, which allows you to reach a larger audience. All you have to do is promote your store and collect the profit check. AdCraft is a trusted source for custom merchandise for many, including us, Grandview University Football, Nestle Purina, ADM, and much more. Visit www.adcraftwebstores.com to bring your custom merch to life. That's www.adcraftwebstores.com.
For sure. Thinking back, Phil, Seth, old Sethy boy, they come down to Tampa, right? Jesuit?
Yes, sir.
And they watch Dane Belton playing. I think Phil Parker was cooking something up all the way back then, right? Like Drake mentioned, Amani. I think he knew that the cash was where you were going to live and succeed. And man, you did a lot of that. You did a lot of that, right? First team All Big Ten this year. Congrats, by the way. I never did. And you mentioned this offseason, I guess almost a year ago now, you know, you're going into your junior season. You understand that's a big season. You've gotten playing time early on, right? I think you got in as a freshman, right? You played four games or the whatever, or did you play the whole season?
I played eight games total. I think I started three more.
Yeah, yeah. So, you had tons of experience already as a third year. And I guess this could go back all the way to like high school. Was getting to the final level, the boss level, right, of football, the NFL, was that always the goal? Was that always in the back of your mind?
Oh, definitely. You know, ever since I started watching football, you know, I always dreamt of playing, you know, at the high level in the NFL. And, you know, every step, you know, gets closer. And it's like, you know, this can be a reality. You know, like in high school, you know, you have no offers. Like, you know, I'm playing well, but like, you know, I don't have any offers, blah, blah, blah. You get an offer and it's like, man, you know, I have a chance of playing at the next level. And then, you know, you get to the next level and then you start playing. It's like, man, I got a chance to go, you know, beyond. And, you know, like you said, like coming in this year, you know, I had two solid seasons, you know, nothing to write home about, but, you know, I felt like I was making that progression each year. You know, you could probably see it in my stats and things like that in the way I was, you know, flying around on the field each year going better and better. And, you know, I just felt like, you know, this year, if I had the year, I think I could, that, you know, I have a possibility of leaving early and, you know, making that dream come true next year. So it was just, you know, it's all, you know, starting in the spring. And when we got there in January, you know, last year, it was all about, you know, getting to that goal. You know, it didn't have to be this year. You know, it wasn't like this is a make or break year, but, you know, I felt like I was in a position where I can make plays and I can get to that point, you know, if I have the opportunity. So it was just, you know, it's focusing in on that. And, you know, I'm here now and, you know, I made that happen and, you know, I couldn't be, you know, even more ecstatic about that.
What do you think was more important to your progression from year one to year three? Was it physical progression or was it the understanding of the defense and offense, what offense are trying to do to attack you? Like Jack kind of talked about, the longer he was on the field and in the first rotation studying film, he understood how offenses were trying to attack him and why you guys were doing what you were doing.
I think it's exactly what Jack talked about. You know, I feel like there's a point in your career when you first get there and obviously you do physical changes, you get stronger, faster, things like that. But I wouldn't say you plateau, but it's only so much you know, you keep going up. But really what a lot of, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, the big difference between high school and college, and I assume it'd be the same way for college to pro, is like the mental aspect. And, you know, you can get away in high school with just, you know, being more athletic than someone and overpowering them. But in college, you know, it's all about the mental aspect. And, you know, just like you said, what Jack was talking about, you know, it's exactly with that. You know, once you know the defense, because, you know, we have a pretty, you know, sophisticated defense, you know, as far as like safeties and things like that, having to make checks. And well, once you get that down, you know, it's all about, you know, playing fast. And the way you play fast is just understanding, you're not having to think too much. So when you learn, you know, the way offenses are attacking you, it just helps you play even better. And I feel like that was the biggest jump, you know, from each year is, you know, I already know the defense now. So now it's time to study something else. You know, my freshman year, even though I played, I'm still like, you know, I got to get the defense down. But now it's like, I know this. So, you know, what's next? And I feel like, you know, doing so, you know, even, you know, studying on my own. And, you know, we also studied a lot together, just, you know, bouncing ideas off each other or, you know, picking up things and discussing it. You know, I feel like that's what, you know, helped my jump and, you know, helped the whole group.
Good answer. This guy's ready for the combine interviews, Drake.
He's coming up.
We talked about it. It's about 3 weeks away.
How geeked are you about the combine? Yeah. That's a dream come true.
Oh, definitely. And it's like, like you said, it's crazy because like I'll be in high school watching it, you know, during class on my iPad or something, you know, watching them run 40s and like it's all quiet, you know, on TV. It's not like a football game, but it's just exciting because, you know,
bro, that was 4 years ago. Literally, just yeah. 4 years ago. That's what you were doing.
For sure, and it's exciting because you see people and they made it to a point where they can showcase their talents on the combine level. And that's like one of the biggest things, you know, in this pre-draft process. And for me to be able to, you know, get the opportunity to be invited to that is just, you know, it's crazy because, you know, you know how like you recognize, you know, the work you put in and things like that. But when other people recognize it and say like, you know, you're in the top this and that, where, you know, teams want to see how you perform, you know, athletically, it's like, you know, you must have did something right. And it's only, you know, it's only up from here. You know, this is obviously isn't the end goal, and it's just a stepping stone, but it's definitely a blessing.
Man, that's awesome. You were when everything in 2020 went down, and that summer, man, that's a turbulent time as a young guy in the program, right? And I feel like it would be impossible to not walk away from that, being a changed man, right? Or I guess let's call you a kid at that point. You're 18, 19 years old, right? But I'll respect you and call you a man, because if we went one-on-one, you'd crack me, bro. What did you take away from all that? You know, like it's obviously not something you sign up for. I don't think any program would ask to go through that. But you know more than anyone as a Division I athlete when you get hit with adversity, and you really have two options, right? You either buck up and you adapt and you get through it and you grow, or you let it beat you down, right? And that's sort of a metaphor for life. But in this specific instance, like how did Dane Belton come out of that whole situation bigger, better, smarter?
Yeah, like you said, you know, it was a crazy situation. You know, no one could have, you know, predicted it or things like that. But, you know, I felt like personally, you know, it made me, you know, as cliche as it sounds, you know, made me into who I am today. And, you know, being, you know, just finishing my freshman year, I was only there, you know, a semester. And, you know, a year.
Right.
You know, I was there for a year. And it was just like, you know, I still felt young. But, you know, when that happened, it was like, you know, the team was looking for, you know, people to, you know, lead us, you know, things like that. It wasn't just the old guys, you know, it was just, you know, we need leaders. And, you know, for me, you know, they appointed me to the leadership council, you know, that year. And even being so young, you know, I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, this is people older than me, have more experience that could probably do better than me. But, you know, they see me in this light, you know, even so young. And I just felt like, you know, it's time to grow up and it's time to make change. And one thing I learned from that situation is that, you know, I've been put on a platform to, you know, promote change. And, you know, for me being blessed with the gifts I have, you know, to, you know, play at the next level in the NFL, you know, it's only, you know, you can do stuff for yourself, but it's even better when you have that platform to promote change, because you have eyes on you. You know, people are looking at you to, you know, learn something from you, or, you know, things like that, to better themselves just by watching you. And, you know, being in Iowa, you know, around that time, it was like, you know, that gave me a taste of that, just knowing that people, you know, were looking at me, you know, even being so young, looking at me for the next step, or how we're going to take this program and make it even better than it was. So that's really what I learned from that. And, you know, I couldn't say without that, you know, that really just made me who I am for sure.
Yeah. What did, man, I imagine being in the room with Coach Parker through all that too. Like he's, you know, he's the vet, right? He's, he's kind of seen it all. And he, you know, anybody that's played kind of understands that Coach Parker has this way with guys that he just gets the best out of them, you know? Yeah. And I see the smile on your face. Like, I know you know what I'm talking about. And, man, it's not just you. That whole room, I mean, we're talking about maybe a top two, top one DB room in Iowa history, at least under KF, right? What was it like to play with guys like Jack and Riley, Hank, Kayvon? Like, it's a group of dogs now, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, just even mentioning those guys' names just being, you know, just like, man, we really, you know, we had a good season. And
stacked.
Yeah, just playing with those guys, man, I can't lie, this was definitely the most fun I've had playing football in my life was this past season. And it was just, it was more than just football. It was a thing. Like, you know, people talk about relationships you build, you know, with your teammates and you call them brothers and things like that. But I genuinely felt like we, you know, as a group, we had like a connection, even with the linebackers, the D-line. It was just like we could just sit there in a room and not talk about football one time and we just have a good time. It was just like the bonds we had in that sense. And it's like when you get on the field and you play next to someone that you like enjoy being around, it's like, man, like this is what it's about. And just playing around those guys and just, you know, making plays, it's like we want to celebrate each other. You know, we have that internal competition of like who's gonna make the next play, who's gonna get the pick, blah, blah, blah. But we wanted to celebrate each other. And it was just so fun, you know, the plays we made and, you know, the memories we had this season, you know, it was just great.
So with that being said, how hard was it to leave? Because you guys could have been absolutely stacked next year on defense.
For sure. It was definitely hard, you know, and it was definitely a huge personal decision. You know, so many things went into it, you know, even more so than the recruiting process with all those factors. It was just so many, you know, pros and cons to each thing. And, you know, even if I were to stay, you know, like even Hank leaving, even if we all came back and Hank left, it's just like, man, like Hank was like my big bro. Like I got there, he was already been there 3 years and, you know, he was instrumental in, you know, teaching me the defense and things like that. So, but, you know, and Jack leaving too. And it was just like, you know, at the end of the day, you got to make a decision for yourself and, you know, what's better for you and your career and future. And, you know, I felt like I did that. But like you said, it was definitely a tough decision, you know, knowing that, you know, I could come back and play with my brothers again and even the young guys and things like that. Just the times we have, you know, outside the facility, like I had mentioned in my statement when I, you know, declared, just like the memories we built and things like that. You know, it's hard to say goodbye to that, but, you know, I felt like, you know, for me, I feel like those will always be there. You know, those guys aren't just Iowa friends, you know, those are life friends, and that, you know, they're going to be there, you know, when we're like 40 and 50 and we're just going to hang out, you know, someone might have to fly somewhere and we'll just kick it, you know, things like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I feel like I made the best decision and, you know, I'm definitely, you know, obviously keep in contact with those guys.
Yeah. You're playing college football with the goal of going to the NFL. And so college is effectively your resume and that's your job interview. And you had a successful job interview in 3 years. Go ahead and get your money, man. Like that's congratulations. That's what you go there to do. You go to college, you get a job. You just got one of the most coveted jobs that the world's ever had. So well done.
And we're hoping you get drafted because on this podcast, that would at least make it 1 for 3 because we whiffed on that one. Was it ever close? You know, like Lindy was the last one to announce and it kind of felt like at least from the outside perspective and like, oh man, it must be like a really tough decision for Tyler. Like he might be flip flopping. Was there a night where you laid in bed and you were like, shit, maybe I'll come back. And then you wake up in the morning and you're like, nah, I'm going to go. Like, was there any of that or were you felt pretty good? And as you started to lean towards the NFL.
It was exactly that. And I couldn't describe to you like how back and forth it was. And it was like towards the middle to the end of the season, it really started to pick up, you know, a lot. And it was just like, I would say like every other day I'm going back and forth. And I started like, all right, like I stopped talking, you know, I'll talk to my parents about it. And I'm like, all right, I'm focused on, you know, finishing the season strong. And we'll talk about it after the season. And after the season came, and it was just that week, you know, before I made my announcement where literally I was back and forth every day. You know, I was talking to my parents, you know, probably 3 hours a day, just like going over, you know, pros and cons and this and that of every, like any decision I could make in this situation. And it was just so stressful, man. And it was like, it was crazy. Cause like,
no, I feel for you. I feel for you. Yeah. Cause I mean, not that we were there, but like, I understand how bad I still would want to go back and play like all sweet. I'll be the janitor at the complex. I swear to God. And as long as I can play, I'll do that. I'll do the laundry with Greg, right? Like let me do anything for another season. And I don't even have the opportunity to go to the NFL. So yeah, I get it, man. I get it. That's tough. And I feel for you. Cause that's, and I bet your parents too, man, they're just like, oh, that's such a tough spot to be in. Because you mentioned how you graduated, right?
Not from college.
You didn't graduate. Okay, so you're going to come back and get the kinesiology degree at some point, right?
Yes, sir.
Is that what you, is kinesiology the?
I actually switched majors.
Oh, did you switch it? Now.
Yes, sir. I was set to graduate in December. Okay. So I have, you know, about a little under 40 credits left.
Easy. You're not going to need the degree. But your parents, like you said, they wanted you to choose a place with the top 100 education. Like, you know, they clearly valued that from the start. And like to watch their to watch their little Dane grow up, and it's like, oh man,
turned into a Great Dane quick.
Great Dane's got a big old bag sitting in front of him, hard to turn that one down. Man, it's exciting to be in that position though, I'm sure.
Definitely. And I, you know, on the degree thing, you know, I promised my parents already that I'm gonna finish my degree. So
you're gonna come back and get it.
Yeah, I'm gonna come back in the off season and, you know, finish my credits and things like that. But
you might even be able to get it online, man.
Yeah, that's what I talked to my advisor.
Online from anywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. We mentioned the combine. Obviously, you are you're on Eastern time right now. Are we back in Tampa?
Yes, sir.
Back home, baby. Yes, training, sir. Getting that body ready. What are you looking like right now on paper? What do we weigh?
About 203.
Bodied up.
Yes, sir.
Ready to take some heads off, right?
Oh yeah.
What did you play at? Is that what you played at?
I kind of fluctuated a little bit. So, you know, I would say my freshman year, I was pretty light, around 190.
Right.
Sophomore year, I got up to like 200 around. Junior year, I started at like 205. And then towards the end, I kind of dipped down to around 200. You know, it was like the flu going around. You know, I got sick for a little bit. And so I would say I was around 200 at the end. But, you know, really, you know, around there, that 200 to 204 was, you know, pretty consensus on my last year.
Yeah.
Did you ever play with Brady Ross?
I did my freshman year.
All right, Brady Ross, his second year, he used to fluctuate, and some of his third year, he used to fluctuate between about 245 and 265. He would play some Saturdays at 265, and he would make weight on Monday.
That's crazy. I could see him doing that, though. Just the one year I was him, I could definitely see that. Yeah.
Yeah,
because it's Brady. Like, that dude's crazy. Like, he's just he's another level. They were keeping that body weight up. I feel like 200 is always that number for, like, the safety, right? Mm-hmm. Unless you're, like, Jack Kerner. He's probably, like, 215 or something. You got Ray in there. I don't even know that Cody running around telling you to get a shake in you, get a bottle. they still on you about that?
Oh yeah, you know that would be eternal for sure. But those guys, man, I love those guys, man. Just coming in at 6 a.m. You know, they definitely, you know, made it worth it. You know, coming in that earlier. You know, those are my guys for sure since freshman year. So
how'd you feel about those early workouts? Was that a little bit of a shock from high school to college, or what would you think? Especially when it's cold out, man.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely a shock because, you know, like in high school, you practice right after school, you know, most people do. And, you know, I feel like it wasn't that bad, you know, after I got acclimated in the summer of my freshman year when you got those 6 a.m.s. And, you know, obviously, you know, after a while, you get towards the end of the season, like, man, I got to wake up at 5 every morning. But, you know, once you stand out of bed, I'm fine. That's how I've always been. Like, I'm a deep sleeper. If I stay in my bed, it's not going to be good. But once I get out, I'm good. So, but, you know, those lifts were good. You know, having, you know, all the, you know, the starters or, you know, the two deep in that first lift, lifting together and, you know, getting hyped for practice, knowing, you know, the mental preparation and things like that. You know, those are definitely, you know, part of the college experience for us. And, you know, I wouldn't, you know, take it back.
You got to find a way to bring the juice, huh?
Sure.
Do you have any workouts over the 3 years that you remember specifically? Like, damn, I don't know if I'm gonna make this. This is my favorite question for everybody. Or did you handle the training pretty well?
I would say there wasn't a workout where I felt like I wasn't gonna, you know, make it.
You're one of those guys. All right.
It was funny because, like, coming in my freshman year, it was, you know, the last day of summer when we got a huge lift. Yep. You got the skills and drills, and then you got the four quarters.
Oof.
And everyone's like, oh man, like blah, blah, blah. But, you know, me, I just came from Florida. So, like, I'm used to the heat. Everyone was like, ah, it's so hot. And I'm running well. And, you know, I felt like that was just the
built
the
for it.
That's the image of, you know, the rest of the 3 years. You know, I felt like I handled each workout well. It wasn't a time where I was like, man, I don't know if I'm going to do this. But so I felt like, you know, I was good on each workout. I ain't gonna lie.
Hey, I'm happy for you, bro. Because that was
going back to one of our favorite things at Iowa football. Who was your favorite caterers and training table meals? Because I miss training table so badly.
Grace, Miss Kim, and
hey, let's go, Pete and Kim! Shout out.
Yeah, that was my people for sure. I hope they gonna see this, but they know they're my people.
Oh, they will 100% see this.
That's my people.
I'll post a clip. Yeah, man, they feed you good. You never go hungry if Pete and Kim show up to the building.
For sure, and you know, with me, I have a lot of food allergies, so they would every day, every time they came, they would bring me something on the side. You know,
no shit.
Sometimes it'd be like a 20-ounce steak, and they brought. It's crazy. Like they'll understand when they see this. They know they got me right. They used to bring me like dairy-free ice cream on Sundays after the win, and you know they definitely looked out for the kids.
Legends.
For sure.
We love those people so much. We're still in touch with them. We're trying to do business with them on a charity golf tournament and have them cater it. Like we're still with Grays. We rock with them that heavily. So fucking right, Pete and Kim. We love you guys.
Yeah.
For sure.
Food allergies, man. You got a sensitive tummy?
I guess so.
That's always been like that. Damn. Okay. That's
important. Don't mess with sensitive tummy people, bro. We will come for you. We will fuck you up, Kluver.
Dude, come on now. Goopy. Dane, that's important. Nutrition's like way important, right? Especially as you get into this new, like, hey, you're a pro athlete. And I assume that's how you wake up and think about yourself right now, because that's the mode you're in, right?
Yes, sir.
Nutrition, as you learned at Iowa, like you gotta have that shit in check. So now that you're in the pro mode, I know a lot of these guys go off to like Exos and they're getting like this custom nutrition shakes and they got this custom diet and all this stuff. How are you approaching that? How are you approaching the training? How's the training going as we get closer to the combine and then eventually the draft?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like you said, the diet, you know, is everything for a pro athlete. You know, it's what fuels your body. So, you know, for me, it's always been, you know, I'm not a picky eater on what I can't eat. So like, you know, any type of vegetables, things like that. You know, I love vegetables. You know, I eat. So growing up, you know, I always ate particularly well. You know, I wasn't like I didn't eat a whole bunch of junk food. I rarely eat candy even now. You know, I don't drink soda. And I feel like it's always been like that. And then right now, so we have a diet plan. You know, I'm getting 3 meals a day for 6 days out of the week. And it's all like clean food, you know, things like that. And it's definitely, you know, getting my body right. And It's foods I'm accustomed to eating, so it's not a huge change on that. And that makes it just, you know, that much easier. And as far as training, you know, it's a lot different than, you know, training, you know, at Iowa. You know, this is like specific. And it's crazy because, you know, they tell us on the first day, it's like all you've done to get yourself to this point, you know, is playing football. But right now we're going to train you. And what the things we're doing is not, you know, football. You know, running a 40, the technique is not playing football, you know, things like that. But you know, it's definitely a change. You know, you get a little change in training that you've been accustomed to, and you learn and change in that sense. And you just, you know, keep growing, and it's only going to add tools to your belt, you know. And I feel like this combine coming up in pro day, you know, is a big evaluator for teams. And if, you know, if I can, you know, perform well, it's going to make and improve my stock that much more. So, you know, like you said, I'm definitely taking the mindset, you know, as a professional. You know, I even felt like I took that, you know, my last year in college, like everything you're doing, you know, is going to get you closer or further away from your goal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and believing that, you know, that's, you know, what professionals do. You know, I'm prioritizing what I need to. And, you know, right now that's, you know, this training and preparing for the combine. And, you know, we'll take that when the time comes.
I love it. I love it. You, as you step away now from Iowa football, the Hawks, what will you take with you most? Could be anything, right? What, anything you learned or as you grew, you know, we talked about growing through sort of your career. What do you think is some of the biggest things you've taken away from your 3 years in Iowa City?
I would say the biggest thing I've taken away is that you can never stop improving. And I felt like, you know, a lot of people, you know, you feel like you get to that level. Like I would say a lot of outsiders are like, you know, fans, you know, oh, he's in the NFL, you know, he made it. But, you know, when you, I feel like the fixed mindset is what, you know, what kills, you know, successful people. And, you know, for me, it's always like, you know, what's next in that sense. And, you know, when you never stop improving, you know, you could be already a Hall of Famer like Tom Brady was. And he came to Tampa, a whole new challenge, and had one of his best statistical seasons in his last, you know, ever season. And it's just always that next step, like you can always do better, you know. And I feel like that's what I took away, you know, Iowa. You know, you might have a great game, but it's always like, I mean, you watch film with Coach Barkley, and he's going to tell you, like, the plays you messed up. Like, he's for sure going to get into you.
You're going to realize you didn't have a great game.
Exactly. You're going to see that, like, percentage sheet is like, oh, man, you know, I can do way better. So it's just that sense, like, you know, I've never arrived. And that's – I would say that's the biggest thing I've taken away.
Some days you walk in and see the percentage sheet, and you're like, yo, somebody gave me the wrong paper. Like, I know this ain't my sheet. Yeah,
definitely.
Swear to God, better than this. That's awesome. The, man, I think that's honestly all the questions I got that come to mind. Drake,
that's been a hell of a conversation, man.
Yeah, bro.
We don't want to take up all his time.
Nah, we got this man's got to sleep. It's 7:41 over there in Florida right now. Brady did bring the championship back to Tampa though. How cool would it be if you got a chance to play for the hometown squad?
Oh man, that would be everything. You know, that's like what you dream of, like coming home and playing for the team you love. And I kind of think of like
right down the street.
Oh yeah, like my high school is literally like you probably know. It's like right down
from the street. We practiced at Jesuit.
That is where
you have a weight room that's right next to your field.
Yep, it has the windows that looks the field. Yep. Yep,
that we practiced at Jesuit in 2013.
Yep.
Yeah, every year one team from the Outback Bowl practices at my high school. So. Yep. You know, just you know, being that close and, you know, having the family around and playing for the hometown team, that would be crazy. You know, just it's what you dream of for sure.
What do you this is like the true, I'm now like a draft scout for the Packers, right? What do you think you do well, right? What do you think you take into the next level that kind of sets you apart? And then on the other side of that, what do you think you can really improve on?
Mm-hmm. I would say what I do well is obviously one, my versatility, you know, being able to play those multiple positions and, you know, still making plays at both, you know, and, you know, just I would say matching routes, you know, in zone coverage, you know, I feel like I could play, you know, deep safety. I could play that hook, you know, I can run, play man to man sometimes. And it's just, like I said, that versatility, you know, what I bring to the table, I feel like that's my best asset and what I do well. Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, what I can do better on, you know, I don't want to sound too cliche, but it, you know, it's really true. Like everything, you know, obviously, you know, I'm not, you know, the number one overall pick. There's so many things, you know, I can get better on. Like I said earlier, you never stop improving. Like even the things that I do well on, like I said earlier, my versatility, the way I match routes, the way I run and things like that, those can obviously pick up because it's going to be a whole new level. And it's really, you know, it's just about that. You know, when I get to a team and start learning that defense, it's all about improving each asset that I have. And it's like when you're playing a video game, you have a micro player, you know, you, even if you like already run like a 98 speed, you can always move it to a 99. You can always work on that. It's even like your best things, you know, that's the things that you still want to, you know, make even better. Cause that's what's going to put you at the top of the league. So, you know, I just say going forward, you know, that's what I look to do.
I love it.
Keep that mindset. You're going to be extremely successful, my man.
Yep. Yes, sir.
We appreciate you coming on, man, and we can't wait to watch. Every year, it's so sick to watch guys go to the combine, ball out, get drafted, and now we got, you know.
And then we have more guys to cheer for in the NFL, man. And golly, it's so fun to have friends of the podcast that just are successful in the NFL. So we wish you nothing but the best, man.
I greatly appreciate that.
When you make it big, you got to come back on, and we'd talk a little bit about your career in the league too.
Definitely, let's do it.
Cool. Well, you guys heard it here first. That's D Belt right there. Number four.
Great name.
By the way,
that's such a sick nickname, dude.
Yeah, it
and
is.
The fact that the four is an A, that is unreal.
Oh, yeah. Solid.
I didn't want a fanboy, but I for the last 3 years I've told people that you're my favorite player on the team.
I appreciate that.
It is a little sad because now I have to choose a new favorite player on the Hawks, but that's all right. That's all right.
You got a good group to pick from for sure.
Well, that's no doubt there. No doubt. What are we thinking about the Hawks next year? They're looking pretty spicy, right?
They're going to be solid. Defense.
They're going to be solid.
A team.
And the offensive line is getting older and more experienced.
Exactly. I think and even the skill positions and on the offense, you know, the young receivers we had, Keegan and AB, the truth.
They're real. Yeah. They're real, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Man, love to hear that. Love to hear that. All right, Dane, we'll let you go. That was episode 292 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Thank you guys all for listening. We hope you enjoyed Dane Belton. episode was sponsored by DRF Sports, as always. We hope you enjoyed it and come back for the next one. Dane, thanks again. We'll talk to everybody next time. Peace.
Appreciate it.